Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our good basketball expert, Chris Barler, Vern Dumquist, Locked On Gamecocks, Baton Rouge, Alabama Homer. Anything else I'm leaving off here?
Taurus.
What's that? Like a truck?
Yeah, I identify as a Ford Taurus, a 98 Ford Taurus.
Let us know, hey, if you can hear us, let us know if you can see us. We switched back to another platform because we were having so many issues with the old one. Hopefully, I'm seeing comments here, so we should be good to go here.
Hey, make sure we're still number one, even though we lost 12 hours ago. Everyone knows we're still the best.
Okay, looks like we're good. Yeah, that's true. That's going to be the theme of the show. Before Ed Marler's here for power rankings, of course. Cousin Shane's still on vacation, so we're carrying the weight. How does it feel to carry Shane's weight here? First of all,
I'm dying inside. honestly, I have never thought about Cracker Barrel more in my life than with Shane. Like ever since I see him like on Twitter all the time now, I'm like, God, Cracker Barrel does sound good. I also don't know of a time when I'm like, we should go to Cracker Barrel tonight. Like outside of like, I feel like it's probably like a road trip thing or something.
Wait, be careful what you say, because that'll get you banned from this show if you're going to disparage. And they're not even a sponsor. I love Cracker Barrel. You know what I mean? But that's the whole point. We're trying to make this show part of the Cracker Barrel family.
I love Cracker Barrel. I'm just trying to think of like all the times I've eaten there. I can't remember what it was, like whether it was like a hankering for it on a Sunday or it was like I have a friend who their family, when they go on road trips, they stop at the first Cracker Barrel every single time they get on the road. Like long-standing, multiple decade tradition on a road trip, the first Cracker Barrel they see, they have to stop. Do you have any idea how inconvenient and inefficient that is, though? Like 12 minutes into a drive, we got to stop.
Well, I mean, they are literally the first restaurant to my house. They are the first restaurant to Shane's house, and we live 3 hours apart. So that should tell you how many damn Cracker Barrels there are out there. You know what?
Yeah.
Next CEO of Cracker Barrel, Cousin Shane. Hey, real quick, last time, at least we may get an agreement with this, but hey, we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sportsbook. MyBookie.ag is the website, That SEC, to get in on this Super Bowl action. So let me ask you real quick, Chris. Crit, who do you like in the Super Bowl coming up here in a couple hours?
I don't care. I'm pulling for the Eagles because my girlfriend's an Eagles fan. My favorite day of the year, Mike, every year, and I'm going to shamelessly ask you to retweet this. It's the Super Bowl prop bets on Super Bowl Sunday is my favorite thing in the world right now. I listed like the five wildest prop bets you can bet on. Like my favorite one, it's probably the best bet on there. You can bet on whether or not Trump will tweet. And it's like very good odds. You can bet on how many patties will be on the post game hamburger or cheeseburger for Andy Reid over 1.5. And then what's the other one? My personal favorite is what will be higher, the number of Patrick Mahomes completions or the age of Bill Belichick's girlfriend. It's awesome.
What did you see Tuberville taking credit for Patrick Mahomes? Any thoughts on that?
Well, he also made a ring for Auburn winning a national championship they were never involved in, nor should they have been involved in, but because they think they would have beaten a team that beat them like a drum the year before. It does not surprise me when politicians lie. It definitely doesn't surprise me when Tommy Tuberville lies.
Well, speaking of youngins, how excited are you? And you can go any direction you want in this. That's why I'm teeing you up here. How excited are you that Ryan Williams is no longer a minor and he's apparently he's 18? That's all I see on social media is damn Ryan Williams is 18 now.
Yeah, somebody tweeted yesterday that he's tied for the most like times turned 18 from a former 17-year-old. It was like some like just word salad that was really funny. Yeah, I don't love the phrasing of how you said it, especially since David Chambers is asking what the name of my boyfriend is. But we're all excited that he's legal now. Good for him.
Jeez Louise says an Eagles fan would date Marler.
How did he just misspelled my name? It's like me typing in the comments.
Right, and thoughts on we didn't get your thought. Last time you came on the show, immediately after, Ryan Grubb back to Alabama. Does that change anything? Is this Alabama's the team to beat now?
I don't know if they're the team to beat. I think it's a step in the right direction in terms of continuity and like what he was able to do with DeBoer. Like, they've had tremendous success there. I think the thing, man, with Bama on offense last year, it's just, I don't know if they knew their own identity from week to week. And you saw that. I've told you before, like the recipe for success of beating LSU was running the ball nonstop, right? And they could not stop it. You had a good game plan against them. The recipe the game plan that came up with against Tennessee was having 49 dropbacks for Jalen Milroe. Like, games are 3 weeks apart. So, like, how do you have, from an identity standpoint, two drastically different things? I think Grubb will bring a little bit more experience, calmness, and like, he understands what DeBoer wants to do. Like, I think a little bit more than Sheridan. Sheridan just felt like he was kind of thrust into that position because Grubb wasn't there. And you hope for the best. It just wasn't that great.
I mean, both things can be true, right? Like, mm-hmm. Ryan Grubb is a massive upgrade from Sheridan,
right?
Even though Sheridan's still on staff, but at the end of the day, I don't know where you are with this, but I am firm. It doesn't matter if we're talking Alabama. It doesn't matter if we're talking Tennessee. To me, it's the players matter significantly more than the coaches.
Yeah, I do think that with coordinators, though, it's a little bit different. And I give you shit about this all the time because you're Steve Sarkisian, number 9 offensive coordinator in the SEC. I will never get over that. I do think it's something
too
that
high. He was too high.
It's something we don't talk enough about, because it's like, for the longest time, you talk about, like, oh my gosh, like, Saban is the best coach of all time, which he is. But like, the hires you make at coordinator are so incredibly important to your team's success and your tenure at a place. Like, look at Kirby with Todd Monken versus Kirby with Bobo. And we all told ourselves, like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, you know, it's just so important to make sure you have good hires and play callers and stuff like that can run those schemes. And I think you're right. Like, the players are the most important part of it, but you also need to have players that can fit those systems.
Right. And then one other thing I wanted to add, we could do this all off season, but I just want to see a squirm here. Week 1 at Florida State. I mean, is there a bigger game in the country to where literally both coaches, I don't know if they can afford to lose it. I mean, maybe Norvell can because coming off an awful season, but he needs to show that was an outlier. God forbid Kalen DeBoer loses that. It's not going to derail the season, but it's going to be a epic meltdown. I don't care what happens, ULM or even Wisconsin. Yeah. The only way DeBoer would bounce back from losing to Florida State is to come back a couple weeks later, September 27th, and win in Athens. And what would be the odds of that? Would you agree?
It's what happened this year. It's what he did all year. Like, that's almost exactly what will happen. Like, listen, Bama will lose their first two games, because the one I couldn't get over was right after FSU. That's Louisiana Monroe. I don't know why they would ever schedule them again, ever, ever, ever. Like, but lose the first two games. This is how next season will go. 1,000%, Mike. They will lose the first two games. They will win the next 9, and then they will lose to Auburn to not make the playoff. Like, that's the Kalen DeBoer way.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it. Hey, shout out. Sorry for the delay, but we got rolling there. The legend, JR, is back, gifted another membership. Chris, he gifts more to this show than you ever will. But yeah. every show he gifts on this new platform, I don't know who he gifted to. So welcome to the family. I'm trying to figure out who got the gift. Let me know in the comments. But hey, speaking of Nick. Hey, you shut up. Speaking of... And then I've asked you a question. Speaking of Nick Saban, thoughts on this Kirby Smart bill, which apparently was Nick Saban's idea. Have you seen this, where Georgia's going to potentially not tax NIL money? And why in the hell is Nick Saban offering up this idea when he's on the payroll at Alabama? I mean, what in the hell is he thinking?
It's almost like Nick Saban just wants what's good for the sport. You know what I mean?
How's that good for the sport? That Georgia's not going to tax NIL.
Not paying taxes is good for everybody. It's absolutely ridiculous that this country, at the end of the year, the government's like, hey, by the way, I know you're stressed, been a long time of working for 12 straight months. We have a little bit of a math project you're going to go home and do some homework for. And by the way, if it's wrong, you could face jail time. Have fun. Like, taxes are stupid. I'm happy for it. I think it's great.
There's still taxes in Alabama. Why isn't Nick Saban proposing this in Alabama?
I don't know the answer.
He just wants to help Georgia?
I think you're making it more salacious than it is.
Andy's on the payroll. That's the whole thing. That's blowing my mind, that he's on the damn payroll at Alabama. He's trying to help Georgia.
I don't know if he's trying to help Georgia. I do love the fact that he's anti-government, though. I think that's great.
Okay. Well, there's many follow-ups to that. But let one last thing. What? Oh, wait, two more things. I've been going through your profile. I mean, it's a hell. Throw it out there, Vern Dumquist. Right. I mean, yeah. it changes every 3 weeks, so it's hard to keep track. But what's the dumbest off-season list you've seen to date? Because there's quite a few that you've reacted to.
Oh, it's Ari Wasserman. It's Ari Wasserman and his. I mean, pretty much everything that he has posted. It like I tell you what, Mike. One of my least favorite things that we see on social media now is when people disagree with something and then their first reaction is, "This is clickbait. Like rent must be due. Like you're just trying to get paid." Like first off, if any of you idiots have ever seen what the actual paychecks are from Twitter, like for just like a normal account, you're not making crazy amounts of money on Twitter anymore unless you have a massive, massive account. So I hate the idea if we have to disagree with something that immediately we have to discredit and say it's clickbait. So I'm not saying his is clickbait. I think the bigger concern is that he actually believes what he wrote. Deion, his top 25 coaches, Deion Sanders at 7 is like, okay, I'll just for the sake of not exhausting myself for the rest of the list, I'll let that one slide. Brian Kelly at 16. Brian Kelly was 3 spots behind the child that's coaching Arizona State, Kenny Dillingham. Sherrone Moore made the list at 19. Sherrone Moore was 2 spots ahead of Bill Belichick. And when I saw that, I was like, I either need to go seek a second therapy session this week or just yeet myself off the balcony. Because this is like I don't even know how he came up with that list. And like there's no Shane Beamer on it. Like you could argue whatever.
No Beamer.
Which like, here's the thing. If you're basing Sherrone Moore as a top 25 coach, it's clearly because he had a good couple of weeks at the end of the season beating Ohio State and Michigan. Shane Beamer won 6 straight games against teams that were currently ranked 4 times over the last 6 weeks of the season. He beat Clemson. He beat A&M. Like he beat A&M by 24. Like I don't having him not in the top 25 in what was clearly such a prisoner of the moment type situation. Like you're not going to sit there and say, well, you know what? The Kenny Dillingham thing is over his entire body of work. I just think Kenny Dillingham in the 2 years he's been a head coach at Arizona State, he's really put enough out there for me to say that's a top 15 coach. Brian Kelly, a little bit more work to do in year 35 as a head coach. I think if we could see some growth and progression, you know, it was so stupid, man.
And he had Sherrone Moore over Kirk Ferentz too, right? Which
is also weird.
Again, I'm not like a big Iowa defender here, but they won the conference twice, and he's been in. I'm looking it up right now. He's been at Iowa for 26 years.
They win 8 games every year.
That's not an easy job. You know what? Yeah. And speaking of, yeah, I think you hit on a point there. You don't have to give the answer, but I'll share mine. I'm just curious. Do you make money off Twitter? Like, can you give out a figure? I was going to share mine here.
I want to make one argument with Zach. Dillingham won his conference and should have beat Texas. Okay. So if we're saying, cause he won the Big 12, which was a powerhouse this year, he won the Big 12 and he almost beat Texas. So did Vandy. Clark Lee didn't make the fucking list. Like, and it's one thing to be included in the top 25, but to be 13th in year 3 as a head coach is dumb as shit. Anyway. Ooh. No, the making money off Twitter thing, I was so excited when it first happened because it was right when I started dating Allie and our first date, like I paid for the entire thing because I think I made like $400 off Twitter in like a 3 week span. It was awesome. And then they changed the model and now it's like, I think on a month you can make like, I don't know, between $50 and $100. My account is a lot smaller than yours and I always lose them, but.
Right. Okay. So I don't know Ari Wasserman, but to your point, he's got 54,000 followers. I've got 75,000, and during the season I make like $100 a month, and then during the off season I make like $20 a month. It's really not.
When you see something, it's like, oh my god, it's got 1 million views, because I'll do that like probably like once a month, and then it's like, here's $12.
Okay, yeah, it's not like a buddy baker.
It's
trust
like
me.
Your grandma on your 11th birthday. It's like, I wrote you a blank check. I'm going to fill it out in front of you, though, for $9.
And then, hey, one last thing before we get to the basketball rankings. Our buddy, oh, shit, I should have uploaded it. Our good friend, Stephen Lassie, he's on the show every week. He did SEC quarterback rankings for next season. A little bit of a projection. Mm-hmm. But he had Arch Manning, number 1. And I debated. I said, Arch, I don't even think he should be top five. Now, he may be elite, but I don't want to. I think DJ Lagway's shown more. I think, obviously, Sellers has carried damn South Carolina nearly to the playoff. And then he had Nussmeier number two. So any thoughts on that list?
I think Nussmeier is a top three guy for sure. I'm a little hesitant on DJ Lagway. Like, and that sounds crazy because we all know how talented he is. But then you look at the numbers, man. It's like he had as many like I think he had two games in his last seven where he had over 60% completion percentage. He had 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Like, he had as many games over 60% completion percentage as he did over 18 yards per attempt, which is one of the most insane stats I have ever heard. Like to average 18 yards per attempt two times in games last year. He needs to obviously work on like more accuracy, consistency. Like, the explosive plays are there. He's great on like third down especially, but like 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on a pretty decent sized body of work as the starter. It's weird how much we've all just assumed like he's already arrived. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing, and that's completely fair. But also, you got to remember he hurt his hamstring pretty bad.
True.
And I don't know if you'd call him a classic dual threat, but he's certainly a running quarterback or a capable runner.
Yeah.
And when you essentially take that away, I think it was damn impressive what he did. I think DJ Lagway in 2 years, his junior year, I think he could be the best player in the country.
I agreed with that. I'm not ready to say he's like, there's some people that have him as like a top five overall player, which I think it might be Ari Wasserman. But I would say I get the Arch hype and he'll put up numbers in that system. But like, you know what also I'm a little bit hesitant on, Mike? Quinn Ewers was the number one player in the country and also one of the highest ranked players in the history of recruiting. And the numbers were great, but it wasn't like a Trevor Lawrence type career. It wasn't like a Bryce Young type career. I feel like it was like he was good, but what are the expectations for Arch? Is he going to light the world on fire? Is he going to win a natty? Is he going to do both? Like, it's crazy that he would be at number one. I'll tell you a sleeper without getting into the list. A sleeper that no one's talking enough about is Blake Shapen, because they're going to put up numbers in that offense with Jeff Lebby, and his numbers were pretty good. Like, they were pretty good in his first couple of starts. They're going to be a horrible team, but he will be a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, you're speaking right to Cousin Sven down here, so he appreciates you. All right, let's get into the power rankings real quick. I got to let the cousins know we're brought to you by Rocket Money. Chris, have you tried this Rocket Money? Because if you haven't, you should go over to rocketmoney.com, put in that promo code GAMEON. Chris, I know you've got, knowing you, you've probably got like 6 Netflix active. Probably got 2 Apple subscriptions. What Rocket Money does, it looks up every single subscription you have, and by a click of a button, you can cancel any and all of them, opt out, whatever you got to do, save you some money over at Rocket Money, personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitor your spending, and help lower your bills, Chris. So again, that's rocketmoney.com, promo code GAMEON. They sent it over to Shane and I. We are loving it. Cannot be beat, Chris. It cannot be beat when it comes to personal finance. I'm just telling you that right now. It'll be number one in Chris's power rankings. I'll tell you that.
I have 3 ESPN accounts. And all 3, Mike, were set up like during spring games that one year when they were like, everything's on ESPN Plus. And I was like, shit, I don't know if I have an account for that. And so, like, whatever.
All right, number 16 at the power rankings. Why is it South Carolina?
LSU, still. I'm still putting LSU there.
They were so close.
Did you see what they did last night? That was – they had an 11-point lead with 3 minutes to play, got outscored 13-0 to end the game. It was one of the worst collapses we've seen since the Roman Empire. It was so bad. It was so bad. So I have them at 16. And listen, let's just make this a thing now with everyone, because I told you last week I was gonna do my research and really feel good about what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm slammed with Super Bowl stuff since in New Orleans, and we're just gonna go no notes ever. We're just gonna do it live on air, off the cuff, and I think that'll be the best way. So LSU at 16, South Carolina at 15, 14.
Wait, you're blowing past your Gamecocks here. What? Why? Who did they just lose to? I mean, it was pretty pathetic, wasn't it?
Probably. I don't know. Oh, it was Kentucky.
Yeah. No, it was competitive there for a little while.
They played really well at home. Like LSU has been arguably just as bad. They just have the one win. They have not been as competitive at home, though, as other teams. Like I think that Sven. I don't know. LSU's lost six straight. South Carolina's lost 10, which is really, really bad. But yeah, that's 16 and 15. 14, I will say, let's put Oklahoma at 14.
Okay. Tennessee's still scoring on them.
Yeah. What was that about? That's got to make you feel good for Tennessee being able to go on the road like that, because they've had their ups and downs. I'll put them at 14.
Well, Tennessee, here's the deal. They got to get their scoring out before March when they go ice cold again.
Look at you. There it is. Okay, 13.
Wait, let me ask you real quick. Oklahoma. Yeah.
What?
Were they just simply not SEC ready?
Their schedule has been pretty difficult in every sport they've played. But they were never going to be ready for basketball. Like Texas isn't SEC ready for basketball. Like, they have a good win at home against A&M. But, like, I mean, Texas is – Texas should be good at everything. They should be good at everything. But it's wild to me that they cannot figure out basketball. And the only time they've really ever been good at it is when they had Kevin Durant.
Right.
So there's been times they've been ranked high, but, like, yeah, I don't think either one of them was. And it's funny, too, because – thank you, Krenz. I think it's wild, too, because, like, they came from the Big 12, which was, for a long time, people considered the deepest conference in all of college basketball, like, just with how competitive it was with Kansas and Baylor and Texas Tech sometimes, like – you know, and they were in the middle of that, like, coming to the SEC and to see them buried even worse is bad.
Mm. All right, who's unlucky 13?
Let's start with Texas there, because I hate him. I just, you know.
I'm 13. Especially the coach, right?
He is the worst. He's like the fact that he had a video of him, like, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Like, it's just unbelievable, man.
That was a wild game, though, yesterday with Vanderbilt. I mean, that felt like two teams – in this range, you know, where they're going to be battling, but I would think for to make the tournament. I mean, I think each of those are based on the projections I've seen. Yeah. They're technically in, but they're, you know, a couple losses away from being out. I mean, that was and Vanderbilt's schedule is brutal coming up. So
yeah,
for Vanderbilt, that was a hell of a win. I thought.
I don't know why they rushed the court, because it was an unranked opponent that is 15-9. Like, listen, it's cool for Vandy that they keep doing it, but, like, also at some point, like, the AD, you saw the AD after they beat Kentucky, and she was like, please do not rush the court. Please, we will use the $100,000 fine. We will use that money for NIL, like, begging them. And also, here's the thing, too, Mike. The way that floor is set up in Vandy, it's on an elevation. It's on an elevation, so it comes up to, like, the chest level of everyone that's in the stands. That means you have to, like, push yourself up and do this, like, rigorous exercise to even get on the floor. Like, not worth it. Not worth it against an unranked team.
I feel like you're singling Shane and I out, saying there's no way we could possibly storm that field.
I would love to see somebody be like, give me help.
Could Vanderbilt be the first team that goes broke in the SEC because they're storming the court every weekend?
We just see them, like, on the next episode of, like, it's like a former thing of Cribs. Like, yeah, we used to have everything. We used to have it all. I had the number 4 hit on the Billboard singles in 2003, and now I'm homeless. That's Vandy.
All right, who's number 12?
Arkansas.
Oh.
Tough one last night. They almost came back, though.
I know it.
Yeah. You know, Arkansas's weird, man, because it's like, I don't know what's wrong with them. If they played one of the best teams in the country last night, if not the best team. That team, if they could just figure it out and put it all together, like, DJ Wagner, like they've shown flashes. Obviously, the Kentucky game was one of them, where you had those three guys, like the former Kentucky guys, Wagner, Thero, and then what's the kid, I can't pronounce his name, who was on fire last night, like the Monstar from Space Jam, that was like 4 or 5 from 3 in the first half last night. You know, if they could figure out a way to get all of them going at once and not just one of the three or two of the three like we keep seeing, they could be one of the more dangerous teams in March. They just cannot figure it out, though.
And here's some of the teams they got upcoming. Their next game is against LSU. You got them dead last. They got Texas coming up, which they just beat at Texas. Mm-hmm. They're at South Carolina, at Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State will be tough, but it is at home.
Yeah.
I overlooked at A&M and at Auburn and Missouri at home, because those are difficult. But if they take care of business and beat the teams they are, you know, on equal or better than.
Yeah.
This really is a team that could play their way into the tournament.
if they can just win the games on their schedule they're supposed to win, like they should be in. If they can do that, or if they can like win one of those games on the road at A&M or Auburn, they're a shoo-in. Like
right.
you could lose one of the games you were supposed to win and then have that on your resume and be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, where's number 11? Who you got there?
Georgia. Now I feel bad for putting Georgia there. Bad loss yesterday, Mississippi State. Maybe Georgia should be behind. Georgia should be behind Arkansas, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, Georgia's behind Arkansas. Georgia's 12. Okay. What happened with them is well, I mean, like they have a top 15 pick in the NBA draft with Taysom Newell. I mean, Mike White, it felt like you really had that thing turned around. And it wasn't like they have a win over St. John's, who's a top 12 team in the country right now. And they beat them in the non-con part of the year back in November. So, like, they have been good. It's not like they've just played shitty competition and have a good record because of it. Like some people have said about, like, Mizzou or some other teams in the conference. Not me, but I'm just saying. I would put them at 12 and then Arkansas ahead of them, especially since Arkansas came back and beat them
right.
One time they played. So I don't know what happened to Georgia. It's concerning because it's like you want to think the roster will continue to get better with like recruiting and they've got a good class coming in. But it's always frustrating to see a team be average or below average when you have a talent that's going to go that early in the draft like Asa Newell.
I think what the issue in Athens there, Chris, is they're just so bothered by all the taxes they have to pay on their NIL that they can't focus on the court. You know what?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, who's now we're to the top 10. Who you got number 10?
Who do I have at number 10, Mike? You tell me. I don't know. Mississippi State at 10. They kind of struggling. They did have a good win yesterday on the road at Georgia. It is hard to win on the road against anybody. I would put them at 10. It's also hard because, I'm not going to drop Mizzou all the way down to 10. Bad week, though. Bad week for the Tigers. Mississippi State, it just feels like, unless I'm forgetting something, what is the big win that they've had? It seems like a lot of times when you look at their resume, their best wins are close losses. Kentucky at home by 6 or by 5. The Bama game at home by 4. Now, I will also tell you this. They have one of those key components where they're a very well-coached team. Like, they're fundamentally sound. I love Chris Chans. But they have Josh Hubbard, who is – you saw it in the Alabama game. He had 38 points. That's a kid that, I hope – if you want to talk about a cool storyline for March, Mississippi State gets to the Sweet 16 because Hubbard goes off for, 40 or something like that in one of the opening rounds. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, here's some of their key wins. Most of them, like you said, they're kind of out of conference. Pitt's ranked. Memphis, or at least when they played them, those are their two kind of big non-conference. But yeah, you're right. In the conference, close but no cigar. But they have swept Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So there's something which we haven't got to Ole Miss yet.
I'm talking about them. No, they didn't sweep Ole Miss.
The way I'm looking at it, maybe I'm wrong. Oh wait, now they got another one coming up. They are 1-0 against them though.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn it! Don't call me out on my own show. Come on, you son of a bitch. All right, who's number 9?
I'm going to put Vandy there because I forgot to put him at 10. I'll feel fine about it because they have wins over Kentucky and Tennessee. So good win yesterday. I don't know what makes this team good. I do love the fact that they have a white kid whose last name is Nickel and he wears number 5. I thought that was pretty funny. And he's pretty good from 3. They're a scrappy team and it's really Memorial is a very, very hard place for people to play on the road, just with the sight lines of the rim and everything like that. It's always been historically a place where teams go to get upset because it's unique in its layout than any other place in the SEC. But I would probably have them at 9. Vandy's a really cool story, but I'll tell you right now, there's no way they make it past round 1 in the NCAA tournament. They will be a 1-and-done, but they deserve to make it.
Oh, congrats. You just jinxed them into the Final 4.
Dude, what if Vandy beats Bama to get in the Final 4? That would be awesome.
I'd love it. All right, who's number 8?
Okay. Let's go. Ole Miss. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they nearly lost. I mean, I don't know that we should be discrediting people for nearly losing, but lost to LSU, epic comeback.
Yeah.
Questionable goaltend. It was the wrong calls. Certainly,
it was odd that he made that call on the floor. Like that was like to immediately he's like, no. I like they won two games this week, so I feel bad for putting him at eight.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that team is good enough. Like when they're on, who do they play on? They played Kentucky.
They beat Kentucky and LSU, but then you're right. Three of the last four, they lost to State, A&M, Mizzou, and Auburn.
Okay. They have to be ahead of Kentucky though. Kentucky at eight and then Ole Miss at seven. Kentucky, dude, that's a team that I'm honestly losing faith in more as they play. Like it's like the opposite of John Calipari when he was there, where you would see them weirdly struggle through the first couple of months. And then it's like, okay, by February, they start to piece things together. They have all the talent.
Yeah.
And then they never peaked too soon, right? Like you. And so, so
they're 2-4 in their last six, to your point. And they got Tennessee coming up.
Yeah. And they got boat raced against Ole Miss. Now, I don't think Ole Miss is going to come out and shoot over 50% from three like they did in the first half against, I mean, like they were unconscious from three in the first half against Kentucky. So like putting up 98 points on them is not something I think they're going to do a lot. They haven't done it in like 30 plus years, I think. But they deserve to be ahead of Kentucky. So Kentucky at eight, Ole Miss at seven. And Ole Miss is like, they're good. They're a frustratingly good team. Like they don't have one guy that's going to necessarily take over a game, but they play really good basketball. And listen, I hate him as a person. I think he's a terrible piece of shit. But Chris Beard is a good coach. So
yeah,
they're going to be competitive.
I will remind me later. I got a funny story to tell you. I could tell you off air. Jeez Louise got a question. In today's landscape, will it be possible for a school to win a natty in basketball and football? Of course, Florida's done it, but that different landscape.
Yeah.
You think that could ever be replicated?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen this year.
Tennessee? All right. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. No, I think it's possible. I think it's – listen, people aren't going to like hearing this outside the SEC, but if it happens, it's going to come from the SEC.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right, who you got number six?
Deion Sanders. so number six, Mizzou will go at six. Really tough week. And like, it's
put him at three and the wheels came off, Chris. I had a perfect tweet. I was going to say 2 weeks since Marler left Mizzou out of the power rankings. They've played like a top 10 team ever since, but
yeah,
they came up short, so I had to, you know, those you have them in the draft, but you just got to delete them. That was a deleted one.
It was they were the last remaining unbeaten team at home with Auburn. Both those teams obviously lost yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't even think yesterday was like they played really well in the first half against Tennessee, really well against Tennessee, and like you saw it, it's like it felt like it was this almost like nothing to lose, like we're here moment. And but then for it to turn so quickly, like because they had a double digit lead in the first half, like for it to turn so quickly and lose the way they did, that was tough. I don't think it's why they lost on Saturday. A&M's a really, really good basketball team. And I think Jimbo Fisher's got that thing turned around down there, man. You know what I mean? I think that like the loss, it sucks, but it was one of those things too, where it's like, they looked off. And in the moment that white kid, Grill, whatever his name is, I don't care. the moment like he was off from three, because he's been such a good, huge component for them off the bench, putting in like, you know, between like 15 and 20 points at times and been incredible for them. Like you saw him against Mississippi State. He was fantastic. Like when he's off, that's a big, big part of their offensive success, especially since he's not even the starting five always. That's just it was a tough loss, but they came back, they battled. And I still think they are well enough coached that they're going to be able to make it past round one.
Right. And I was just about to say they've got eight games remaining. Only two are against ranked opponents.
Yeah,
and,
so get hot again.
And both of them are at home, Bama and Kentucky. So there's a real opportunity that they catch fire.
They could theoretically still win the conference.
Yeah.
Right?
I think well, I don't know, but sure. Hey, Matthew Lou, cousin Matt, he's got a question for you. Is SEC better at basketball than football? I think right now, I think you could say yes.
Like, and here's the thing that will be used on social media from people as like shit talk about the football. but it really speaks way more about how impressive, like, this is not just a good year for basketball. This is the best year of any conference we've ever seen in college basketball history. Like, top to bottom, it is, there's just so much depth.
And I still think football is the best conference, but I could be wrong. All right, who's number five?
Number five. Let's put...
I thought you were having a stroke there for a second.
All right, number five, you're not going to like it. I'm going to put Tennessee
there. Don't you say it. Oh, you son of a... Come on.
Where else did they go?
On fire right now. They are on fire. Hey, they won three games. Last time I checked.
I don't think they're better than A&M.
But they just beat Florida by 20. By 20, Chris. They
just whooped Mizzou. They just
whooped... Well, Tennessee would have. If they didn't miss that shot, they would have done it too.
Yeah, you guys would have won 51-49 in the most like Big Ten noon football game ever. It was awful. I think like Tennessee is still a really good team. There's so much star power on there that they can be really good. No, geez, Louise, I'm not. they can be really good. But listen, here's the thing. Bottom line, like, I don't think they're better than Florida. I know they beat him by 20. Lost to him by 30. They also lost to him by 30. Let's not forget that. I don't. Tennessee should not be. Okay. Tennessee should be three, coming from the person who opened the show by saying Auburn better be number one after they just lost. So Tennessee's at five strictly because it's hard for me to ignore what Florida did yesterday.
Yeah.
And just flat out, I do think A&M is a better basketball team than Tennessee right now. Like A&M is. A&M is on the verge of competing for a number one overall seed, not overall, but a number one seed in the tournament. Like, and that's not me saying that. That's like Joe Lunardi and Jerry Palm and like people that know a lot more about it in the bracketology than I do.
Yeah, Cousin Joshua's got a great point. It took Tennessee shooting 70% from three to beat Mizzou by four at home.
I'm sure they'll do that.
But I would just say, to your point, I think Tennessee is a little, obviously, too inconsistent on offense. If you were to tell me that, again, maybe not 70%, but if you were to tell me they were going to be on offense, I think they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
But we just don't – we've not seen them do that consistently, at least not in the couple weeks I've been watching. No.
It's such a frustrating brand of basketball to watch. Like that 2018-2019 Tennessee team with, like Grant – was it Grant Nelson? And all the – like, that was –
Grant Williams?
They got hosed in the Sweet 16 against Purdue. Like, they should have never lost that game, and the ref screwed them. Like that was a fun team. They played great defense. They were really, really good. They protected the rim, and they could shoot the lights out. Like, they were a fun team. This is just like, you know what it reminds me of, and I'll give you a homer take on it. It reminds me of like 2005 Alabama. It's like offensively, it's like, oh God, this is awful. But defensively, you have one of the best, if not the best, defense in the country, and you're just dragging teams down in the mud and winning like 16-13.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who's number four? You're having to really think
A&M.
About this.
I'll put A&M at four.
Okay.
A&M at four.
I mean, they barely won the other day, so okay. We're giving them credit for that.
They won on the road at Mizzou, a ranked team on the road. Like, I'm not going to go through and do the homework right now, but how many teams have gone on the road and beaten a ranked opponent this year? It's less than eight in the SEC.
They couldn't beat Texas. That's something.
They already did beat Texas. They beat them by 20. They also lost to them by one, but yes.
They knew it.
Who is this clown? Yeah, it wasn't Grant Nelson. You're right. I forgot the name of the Tennessee basketball player from 6 years ago that I don't care about. I apologize for that. I should have looked that up beforehand. I think that A&M, dude, when Wade Taylor, by the way, Wade Taylor was off yesterday, but that kid is one of the most dangerous players. I talked about Hubbard earlier in the streak that the run they could go on in March if he gets hot. Wade Taylor, I just strongly feel this way. I think he is going to have like a generational type run in the tournament this year. Like one of those like Steph Curry things where like for three straight games he's the reason A&M continues to move on, and he puts up like 30 plus at least two times. Like he's that good.
Kind of like Wally Zerbiak good. Remember that?
Graham Nelson. Yeah, Wally Zerbiak.
Well, remember that? I think it was Miami of Ohio or something. I don't know why I remember that, but
yeah, and then Jimmer Fredette from BYU. I tell you what, this country loves a white kid that can shoot a three. That's for sure.
All right, who's number, speaking of three, who's number three?
Number three. Oh, do we want to do this or not?
This is when you're going to get in trouble here.
You can't put Florida at three.
Is Auburn just, maybe they're horribly overrated?
We'll put Bama at three.
Alabama?
Yeah.
They just whooped some ass here.
They almost had a monumental collapse against Arkansas. That's true. That was a 20, like that place was emptying out on the 8-minute mark. They were up by like 20, mm-hmm. and they barely hung on to one by three.
Alabama, they're going to be ranked number one tomorrow. Right?
What's that?
They could collapse down the stretch. They got Auburn coming up at Mizzou, Kentucky, Mississippi State, at Tennessee, Florida, at Auburn. Is Alabama even going to make the tournament?
like the next 8 weeks are going to be miserable. It's awful. I think that they will be ranked number one. I don't want them to be ranked number one just because I don't want to hear the jokes after they inevitably lose one of those games. Because mm-hmm. like the schedule you just said is crazy. So I'm going to put Bama at three. And I think Bama's really good, man. I think they're really, really good. But Arkansas gave them some trouble last night, especially when that game could have been put away. And that was frustrating to watch. And again, I'll say this. I know that Florida lost by 20. Florida could potentially be the best team in this conference. And you saw what they did against Auburn. And I told you, the one thing that I feel like I've actually been correct about this year, talking to you, Walter Clayton is so damn fun to watch. And when that kid is on and he's healthy, like, I mean, he can shoot the lights out from three. Like, he's great. Condon's great. The way Condon played against Broome was shocking. That's shocking, maybe, because he's a really good player. But I told you a couple weeks ago, I thought Florida could be like Bama's the most talented roster, Auburn's the best team, but Florida could be the most dangerous. And Condon, for whatever reason, is just not talked about hardly at all. Yesterday felt like it was like a re-emerging, like a re-coming out party for him because he's been very good.
Any concern about Auburn after that performance, or do you think it was, you're not going to be on your A game every night?
They have been. I mean, they've been on their A game every night, and they've yeah. I mean, dude, like
look. Well, at I guess I just mean that's hard to sustain.
Yes, know? That's fair. I think the concern comes from, I mean, that game was close, and you let Florida run away at the end of the half, and then when you came out for the second half down 10, you kept waiting for them to turn it on, and I don't know if it ever got under eight. Like Florida just continued to put their foot on the gas, and they played with a lot of confidence. But to go into that arena and do that to Auburn, I don't think that Auburn is a bad team by any means. I'm not gonna you cannot discount what they've done the rest of the year just because of yesterday. But there are concerns because it's like if Pettifer can't shoot the lights out from three, if Kelly is not as great from three, because like when they had to come from behind, where was the answer? And they've done it against Iowa State before, right? They were down to 18 to Iowa State earlier this year, and they came back and beat them in Maui. But like, I don't. It that was a concern yesterday, where it's like they never looked like they were ever going to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. So you're rocking with Florida at number one, Auburn at two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, Auburn's a really good team, but like. They got beat yesterday handily at home. So it's like you cannot put them at one. What's going to be insane is on Saturday, we are going to most likely get a 1-2 matchup between Bama and Auburn in basketball.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask. So we got some matchups here on Tuesday. I'll run through these real quick. Auburn at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee at Kentucky. Florida at Mississippi State. Alabama at Texas, Georgia at A&M. Which one of those Tuesday games are you most excited to see?
You said Tennessee at Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
That'll be really interesting because Kentucky needs to win that game.
Yeah.
And it's not just like Kentucky needs to win all their games, but like they have lost at home now to Bama. They lost at home to Arkansas. Now, granted, they did beat Tennessee on the road, but like, They need to have that win. That team needs as much confidence to close out the season as possible.
And then you already referenced it on Saturday, Auburn at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
Who would you give a current early lean to win that game, do you think?
I mean, it's at home. So for Bama, you know, like that's like the home court has had a massive, massive advantage this year. I think I told you going into last week, it was 165 and 30. SEC teams were 165 and 30 at home. So that part's insane. So it's very hard to win on the road. Now, if anybody can do it, it's Auburn. Like, we've seen it all year. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn wins that game. I'll be very upset if they do, though.
Let me ask you this. So how far can we go down this list before we hit a team where you were like completely shocked if they made a run to the Final Four? So I assume Florida, Auburn, Alabama automatically, that wouldn't shock you. And I mean, hell, all those teams may do it. Would you be shocked if A&M does it?
No, not at all. I think A&M, like, I think that I was wondering if you were going to put Tennessee ahead of them when you brought that up. I think A&M has a better chance than Tennessee of doing it. They're that good.
Well, yeah, it took you a minute to figure out. I'm going off your power rankings here. How about Tennessee? Would it shock you if Tennessee did it?
It would, because offensively, what? They're just not good enough. They're
going to win every game 30 to 28.
Yeah, that's great. I cannot wait for the WNBA to start. It's going to be awesome.
So that's your cutoff. You only four, or is there another team, though, like Missouri, Ole Miss, Kentucky, any of those that again, I'm not saying you're predicting them to make a Final Four run. Yeah. I'm just saying if it happened, would you be completely shocked?
I wouldn't be shocked if Kentucky did it. I would be shocked if Mizzou, I think, just because they've shown they beat Florida on the road. They drilled Mississippi State on the road. Like, they are really good. That's why, again, I'm not super concerned with, I got a buddy of mine who's just texted our group thread from college, and he's on a plane going to the Super Bowl. He's on a plane by himself. He just got a last minute ticket. Anyway, I'm not super concerned with Mizzou and their loss because it was against A&M, who, again, like, I'm very high on. So I guess no with Kentucky. Like, I'm trying to think of who else would even be in that group. Like, I would be shocked if Ole Miss did it. I would be less shocked if Mississippi State, just because of Hubbard, and, like, we've seen teams that can get hot in the postseason. But, like, dude, there's also a very big difference being able to get to the second weekend, get to the Elite Eight versus getting to a Final Four. It's just so hard to get to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Ask Tennessee.
Hey, shut up. I know a lot of people, I don't get it, because typically when I do start tuning into SEC basketballs during the tournament,
yeah,
I love the SEC tournament. Who would be your favorite today to win it? Is it Florida? Is it Auburn, Alabama? And how big will the matchups be to where you want to be in the top four to get that double bye?
Oh, you have to be in the top four, yeah, for sure. I would say I would put Auburn on it, because Auburn last year was the team that won it, right? Like, they've already shown that with less pieces they can make a run and do it. So yeah, I would probably say Auburn. Listen, I have to go. I love you, but I have to run. I know, but like, the Eagles girlfriend is about to eat her arm off. So we have to make some Rotel and some buffalo chicken dip.
Can we do that live on the air? That would be good for viewers.
Dude, that's our most viewed show. She ate her arm.
Wait, real quick. Jalen Hurts fan. Arkansas, Final Four.
I would think – I didn't want to say it because it makes me feel crazy. Mm-hmm. But outside of, like, everyone behind Tennessee, I would argue Arkansas maybe be the team that would be sixth on that list of teams with the most potential to be able to do it. Like – because they have the star power, they have the coach, and they have all those pieces in place. They just have not put it together. I love what you said earlier about their schedule, them and Mizzou, what they have coming up. Like, those two teams, we could be talking very differently about both those teams in a month from now.
Yeah. All right. Hey, before you jump off, tell the cousins, how do they follow you? How do they find all your work at the 12 different websites you work at now?
You can find me up your button around the corner at 6969 Way. Vern Dumquist. On Twitter, Vern Funquist CFB on Instagram. We have a ton of stuff coming from content today. So I'm about to go start posting. Dude, I appreciate you having me on as always every week. And I look forward to next week.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Go feed the woman.
See you, bud.
Bye-bye. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, Chris, for joining us, even though we cut it short by 10 minutes. We appreciate each and every one of you. Cousin Shane, he's still on vacation. That bastard, he's going to take a month-long vacation. But he should be back by Tuesday, I think. So, Steven and I will be back tomorrow, another live show, and then the return of everybody's favorite cousin. But until then, we appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.